All right, I'm going to be your final reader. Okay. I'm mostly going to be reading from my most recent book, Muskrat Friday Dinner. This one's about my paternal grandfather's basement bar. Pinball, 1983. Marv's bar was a basement with a television, a pool table, four stools, and a Star Trek pinball machine. I was 5 years old, but my sister was nine, so she would get pitchers of Bud Light fresh from the tap, sneaking off a sip, mostly of foam, on her way to delivering the pitcher to Marv, while I flipped the flippers, sending the flashing silver ball past Uhura, with Kirk and Spock looking on from the big bright bally scoreboard. The toys were endless. Atari, plastic pin bowling, electric racer cars. And when you were old enough, Marv taught you how to play pool, warning you not to miss the cue ball, explaining how expensive it was to pay for the soft green surface. And when you were older, you could go behind the bar to find the dirty joke books you couldn't understand. Most of the regulars at Marv's bar are nowhere to be found anymore. Dottie, Chuck, Marv. And I was just a kid, so I don't even know who all of the regulars were. Those are the ones who mattered to me, though. I can still hear traces of those days in my head. Dottie slamming down a card on the kitchen table and screaming with delight. Chuck's laugh that was a funny, high-pitched giggle trickling down into a hearty cackle. And I can hear Marv making his way from his bar to his workshop singing, "Hey, mister, you better hide your sister because the fleet's in." Thanks. This has an epigraph from John Berryman. Searchlight. No one is ever missing. John Berryman. My God, how I love living on the earth. There were those things that sustained me all those years. The names of the clouds, the Vesper sparrows lined up on a branch, her bedroom light on behind a red curtain. I would circle the block just to see that, knowing it meant she was in there, alive, perhaps waiting for me, and perhaps not, but there, and that presence was enough. All right, I'm going to read this one for my friend Jason Irwin. It's called Beer Before Liquor. We should know better. We're not kids anymore. We've had plenty of practice at drinking this stuff. And yet, after several PBR tall boys each, you ask if I would care for some Canadian Mist whiskey, a brand I've never heard of before, and I say yes, that I'd love some. Naturally, I regret that later on. Better I grab us a gallon jug of Carlo Rossi Paisano, and we take sips off old cartoon character glasses that look as though they are from your childhood. It's not as easy to hurt ourselves with red wine, even cheap stuff like old Carlo. If they are out of Paisano, I'll grab us Burgundy. None of these are wine flavors I'm familiar with, but what the hell? It's all in an effort to make the world look better, make the music sound better than it already does. It's true John Lee Hooker doesn't need much help. Neither does Van Morrison. I do a Van impression where I'm sniffing between the lyrics like he does, and I can almost smell her TB sheets just like Van. And then you put on Roy Harper, and I say, "Who?" And you say, "You know, hats off to Roy Harper." I can't place it, but I say, "Oh yeah, right, hats off." I think Simon Bar Sinister might just call my bluff. So I get up and go into the next room and gander at the record sleeve. When I return, my cup is full again. All right, send this one out to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Baseball poem. It's called Tull Fan Jam. On the radio broadcast of the Pirates game today, the guy with the slick voice was promoting the Fan Jam, featuring an R&B group from the 90s that most of us had all but forgotten about. And the color man, an ex-Buck, said, "There any chance of getting Jethro Tull in here?" And the guy with the slick voice said, "I hope not." And the color guy said, "Okay." All right, this is a really short one. Found poem, Express Lane Giant Eagle. If there's enough money, get me pork rib. All right, I think just three more. Phone calls with my father. I call up my father and he answers with a Steve Allen show reference I don't get. I call my father and he answers in German, which means he is in a good mood. I call my father and he answers in Italian, which means he's been drinking red wine. I call my parents, my father answers and he's distracted by the television or by a computer. His voice wanders off. My father calls me and he says that it's been a rough couple of days, but that it's all going to be okay. Everyone is all right. My father calls me and he asks me what my next couple of weeks look like, if I can get any time off of work. My father calls me and he tells me to get my black suit out of the closet. I hang up and get my black suit out. Thanks. I'm just going to finish up with two new ones. No baby. My grandfather would keep us kids quiet by saying, "You're going to wake the baby," even when we all knew there wasn't a baby in the house. I was young, and even though he was my grandfather, I couldn't get a good read on him. I didn't know whether or not he knew that there wasn't a baby in the house. Thanks. All right, this is my last one. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Singing in the shower. Sometimes I recognize that you will forget me, that we will forget all of this, and that all of this will forget us, that we ever inhabited this space. But these days, I find that when I'm not thinking about the present or the past, I'm often thinking, "Don't think that. Just please don't think that." I slice open my middle finger while chopping up vegetables for dinner. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe I wanted some outward display of what's inside me. Maybe it's a little fuck you to myself. It just feels like I've been so damn malleable lately. I call up my mother to let her know I'm not dead on the side of the road, as she seems to like to say. She tries to comfort me by saying she thinks we've avoided something worse, something like a civil war. She means well, but it's not much of a comfort to me. But I think about D.H. Lawrence, how he said that we have to live no matter how many skies have fallen. I put on John Coltrane records until I've run through all of my John Coltrane records, then start back at the top. And that seems to do some damage. It seems to tame the beast a little. I think I'm good to step outside and confront the world. I'm getting ready, and I'm singing. Thanks.